أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. وقال تعالى في مكان آخر: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء مع من أحبه. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. أي Urdu poet says very beautifully, he says ke naqsh qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, naqsh qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. We find that We are now in the month of Rabiul Awal. And generally in the various masajid, venues, organizations, the theme and the topic of discussion is centered around the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every single ummati, every single believer, every single reciter of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah will have and should have and must have some degree of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find in this world a person loves something for one of three reasons. Ulama-i kiram explain, one of three reasons a person loves something: because of the jamal of that particular item, the kamal of that particular item or that particular person, and finally the nawal of that particular individual. The jamal means the beauty of that item. You find that if a vehicle is extremely beautiful, a house is extremely beautiful, a particular country or town or village or city is very beautiful, then the heart inclines to it. A person finds it attractive, finds it captivating. So that is what we term as the jamal, the beauty of something. A person falls in love with a woman because of the beauty and vice versa. So when something is attractive and beautiful, then a person's heart is attracted to it. Together with that, we find that the kamal of that particular item, that perhaps the beauty may be not to that extent, however you find that there is some degree of perfection in that item. There is some degree of kamal and completeness in that particular item. You find that that particular vehicle may not be that attractive compared to other vehicles in its class, but it is highly refined, and because of that you find that people are attracted to it. You say this particular product has been, it may not be very smart, but it is robust, it is extremely strong. So you find that the heart inclines to it. And finally, nawal. That sometimes a person has been kind to one. A person has been generous. A person's ihsan is upon that particular individual. That automatically the heart inclines to that particular person. Provided, of course, that heart is free from any pride or prejudice or evil, the sound heart will automatically incline to that particular person who is making some sort of ihsan upon that particular individual. Now if we use these three measurements to determine love, then we find in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all these three qualities were at the level of perfection, at its highest degree. If you look at the jamal of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beauty of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then in the words of Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he says, وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَطْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَطْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. He said that more beautiful than you no eye has ever seen. وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ, and more beautiful than you no woman has given birth to. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ, O Nabi of Allah, you have been created free of any defects and faults. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ, it is as if you have been created the way you desire to have been created. One Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he says it was the night full moon, and the beauty of the full moon, in today's time we may not appreciate it because we have got street lights, we have got lights in our homes and LED lights and this sort of light and lights on our cell phones. In those days there were no street lights. The only light that they would get were from a little candle that they would light within their homes, or the moonlight at night. Other than that, there was no other form of light. So he said it was one night, it was the full moon, and we were sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, I was sitting in such a position that the full moon was behind the Mubarak face of Rasulullah, the blessed face of Rasulullah. So I said, I began to compare. On the one hand, the beauty of the full moon. And on the other hand, I was looking at the beauty of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, I kept on comparing and comparing. And he said, I came to the firm conviction that the beauty and the captivating nature of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam far superseded that of the full moon. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what beauty he had, that we find that even the features of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam extremely beautiful. There was a great attraction in it. And then if we look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, neither too tall nor too short. And if we read the Shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then even the outward features of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was attraction and there was beauty in it. And then if we look at the Kamal of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the perfection of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then if we analyze every facet of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it is his spiritual life, if you look at the tahajjud of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one sahabi says, I joined Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the tahajjud salah. He recited Surah Baqarah in the first rakat. I thought that he will terminate after a few ayat. He continued, I thought another few ayat, until he completed Surah Baqarah. He then commenced the next surah and he continued reading good few paras, few juz of the Quran Sharif. He says, then Nabi Kareem Sasa went into ruku, and the duration of his ruku was as long as he's standing. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she describes the salah of Rasulullah Sasa, that Nabi Kareem Sasa would stand in salah, hatta tawarramat qadamahu, to the extent that the mubarak feet of Rasulullah Sasa would begin swelling. And then if you look at the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see in Hajjatul Wida, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua from Zuhr right till Maghrib. Continuously making dua and making dua and making dua for the Ummah and for this. And so we find that the spiritual life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was perfection in it. And then if you look at the character of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we take the consideration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such consideration that he wouldn't cause any inconvenience to his own wife, such consideration that he would advise the sahaba ikram to show kindness to the neighbors, to show kindness to the relatives and family members. And then if you look at the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on one occasion Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had an entire valley of cattle. One sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, Ya Rasulullah, I need financial assistance. Could you assist me in any way? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you see this entire valley of cattle, take it, it's all yours. This person turned around and said, Ya Rasulullah, are you joking with me? He says, no, take everything and go. That was the level of generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing the Isha Salah. Immediately after the Isha Salah, he stood up and hastened to his room. He then returned again. He said that I realized that I had some wealth, some money that was given to me. And I felt that I must not sleep except that that wealth is distributed. So in other words, Nabi Kareem Sassam's condition was such that he conducted his life such that he never had any surplus wealth. Whatever wealth he had, he distributed it, distributed it, distributed it, he kept nothing. That was the level of generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu was wearing a torn and tattered shawl. One sahabiya, she took the trouble, she took the time, and she sewed a beautiful Yemeni shawl for Rasulullah sallallahu. Sahaba ikram described that when the shawl was presented to Nabi Kareem sallallahu, he was extremely pleased. He then immediately excused himself, went to his room, and then he emerged with this beautiful shawl. Sahaba ikram then explained that, imagine that handsome Rasul of Allah and this beautiful shawl, Nurun ala Nur, how attractive Nabi Kareem Sasim. Shortly after that, one sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, give me that shawl. Nabi Kareem Sasim, without even faltering, without even hesitating, Nabi Kareem Sasim immediately got up from that gathering, returned to his room with the old torn shawl and the beautiful Yemeni shawl folded, presented to this Sahabi. Of course, the other Sahaba then reprimanded the Sahabi that how could you do such a thing? And the Sahabi explained that I only asked because I wanted the shawl to become my kafan. And it happened such that later on when this Sahabi passed away, that same shawl was used as a kafan for this particular Sahabi. But the point is that the generosity of Nabi Kareem Sahasim was also at a level of perfection. Then if you look at the tolerance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what level of tolerance found in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we find an incident of Wahshi. We know that Wahshi in the battle of Uhud, he was the Sahabi who at that time was not a Muslim. He was paid the price to assassinate Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, who was the uncle and foster brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi had a very close relationship with Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. And in this battle, he then used the javelin and threw it at Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, and as a result, he became shaheed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi was extremely hurt through this incident. And we find that even afterwards, at a later stage, Wahshi accepts Islam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepts his Islam. And like this, in many, many ways, we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Wahshi came to the gathering, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed Wahshi. He said, "Oh Wahshi, you are most welcome to attend my gathering. But do me a favor, when you do attend my gathering, sit in such a place that my gaze does not fall on you. Because when my gaze falls on you, then that wound and that pain of the demise of my uncle, again, it is rekindled, it is revived within my heart. Therefore, I request you." Of course, Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu immediately then moved and migrated to Syria, far away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so as not to cause taklif to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we find those mushrikeen who later on accepted Islam, who are the very individuals who are means of the daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passing away and the Sahaba-i-Kiram passing away. When they came and requested for forgiveness, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave them. So the level of forgiveness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also was at perfection. The generosity of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at a level of perfection. The kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at a level of perfection. The tolerance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at a level of perfection. The generosity of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at a level of perfection. The spirituality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also at a level of perfection. Every facet of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at a level of perfection. That was the kamal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we take the nawal, that we said that a person loves someone for one of three reasons: either the jamal of that person, the kamal of that person, or the nawal of that person. So the nawal of Rasulullah sasam, the favor of Nabi Kareem sasam upon the ummah, who can ever deny that? That Nabi Kareem sasam went through such sacrifices, he went through such difficulties for the sake of his ummah. That Nabi who could have ask Allah Ta'ala for the palace, the greatest palace on earth. Baad is Khuda Buzurg to hi qissa mukhtasar. After Allah Ta'ala, the greatest, none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet we find that in the battle of Ahzab, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got two stones tied to his Mubarak belly. And as the Sahaba Ikram are digging the trench, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participates. And he also breaks and uses the pick to break those rocks and to dig the trenches, and joins and participates the Sahaba-i-Kiram, with the Sahaba-i-Kiram. This also shows the level of humility found in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these sacrifices for the sake of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We find that in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi went through those trials and those tribulations where thorns were placed in his pathway, where the intestines of an animal were placed on his back when he went down in sajda, where ash was thrown on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where they would assign a person just to follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and call him all sorts of names. where the very family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned against him. But yet we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. He continued. On one occasion his grandfather, or rather his uncle Abu Talib, he said to him that, "Oh my nephew, there's a lot of pressure now coming from that you must stop this work that you are doing, and therefore on their behalf I'm approaching you." So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to his uncle and he said, "Oh my uncle, if they put the sun in my right hand and they put the moon in my left hand, then too I will never stop propagating this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that had it not been for the steadfastness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had it not been for the courage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had it not been for the istiqamat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the selflessness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today myself and you would not have been reciters of this kalima la ilaha illallah. We are therefore indebted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The favor of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so intense that the reality is, respected elders and brothers, if we have to put our head down in sajda from now till the end of our life, then too we will not be able to show our gratitude to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we only put our head down in sajda before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even if we have to now, from now till the end of our life, praise Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his favors upon us, then too we will never be able to do justice. And then it doesn't stop there, respected elders and brothers. That we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of judgment, that day when Allah ta'ala describes, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِي. The day of Qiyamah will be so intense, it will be so severe, that every person will be concerned about nothing but himself and or herself. يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. A person will run and flee from his bosom pal. He said, this is a very close confidant of mine. He's a childhood friend. We grew up together. But even that person will run away from him. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. The person will flee from his parents or her parents. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. From the spouse or the children, the person will flee. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِي. Every person, the gist of that ayat, will have such a overwhelming concern on that day of judgment that will completely absorb him and make him forget everything but himself or herself. To such an extent it is described in riwayah that people will then approach the pious, that you intercede on our behalf. They will all respond, "Oh, we only worried about ourselves." They will approach the Anbiya, Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam, Hazrat Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam. Every single Nabi will be approached, and each one will make the statement of nafsi, nafsi, that on this day, on this severe day, I am only worried about myself right now, that I must be protected from the fire of Jahannam. But Nabi Kareem Sassam condition will be such that on the day of judgment, there he will forget himself completely and he will be saying, "Ya Rabbi Ummati Ummati, O my Rab, save my Ummat, save my Ummah from the fire of Jahannam." To such an extent it is mentioned in the riwayat, respected elders and brothers, that Nabi Kareem Sassam would not rest. He has been promised Maqam-e Mahmood, the highest stage in Jannah. But he will refuse to enter. He will say, "Ya Allah, how can I enter Jannah when there is one ummati of mine that has not entered Jannah?" So this is the nawal of Rasulullah SAW, the kindness and favor of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us. And therefore, respected elders and brothers, the least we can do in this month of Rabiul Awwal, they say, إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. One is, we can express the love of Rasulullah SAW on the tongue. To give this talk is an easy thing. But the reality is that the love must not be confined to the lips. The person can continue. As an example, on a light-hearted note, this person, he had a dog, and this dog he had for many, many years. He brought the dog up, and now he had developed a very close relationship with the dog. So people saw him, he had a basket on his head, and the dog was on the side, and the dog was dying, and he was crying on the other side. So people asked him, "That what is happening? What is your condition? What is wrong?" He says, "This dog that has been at my side for so many years, that has been so loyal to me, this dog is dying now." So he says, "Anything that we can do to help? Why is this dog dying?" He says that this dog is dying because of starvation. Starvation. He says that on your head. He says there's a basket of food. He says, why don't you give the food to that dog? So he says, you see, these tears are free of charge, but the food costs money. So in other words, this person, his love for the dog was confined to the lips. So he expressed his love for the dog, but he was not willing to make that sacrifice to prove his love for the dog. In the same way, respected elders and brothers, myself and many others in the Ummah, we will express our love for Rasulullah SAW. We may even sing the praises of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We may hold functions in the praises of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But it stops there. That love for Rasulullah SAW doesn't go any further. We are not willing to make any sacrifices to prove our love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let us compare ourselves to the Sahaba Ikram. That their love for Rasulullah SAW, it may not even have surfaced on their lips, but their lives were such that it proved that they loved Nabi Kareem Sassam more than they loved their own lives. Hazrat Khabbab Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu, he was that Sahabi who was the first amongst the, according to Riwad, was the first Sahabi who was captured after the Battle of Badr. And now we know the Battle of Badr, the Mushrikeen of Makkah, they were burning to take revenge against the Muslims who had inflicted major harms and injuries to them, and of course humiliated them in the Battle of Badr. So now when they captured Hazrat Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu, he became an embodiment or the personification for them to vent their revenge. And so they held a huge gathering where they called all the people of Makkah to witness now how they're going to torture this Sahabi and to, you know, take revenge on behalf of their elders and their seniors and martyrs who had died in the Battle of Badr. So in this condition, as Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu was strapped down, he was tied down, and they started torturing him to the extent it is mentioned that they started cutting limbs of his body piece by piece. In this condition now, he was being cut and mutilated whilst he was alive, tortured. And in this condition, Abu Sufyan, who was not a Muslim at that time, he then approached him and said, Don't you now wish that Muhammad is in your place now and you are resting at home safe and sound? His response has been recorded in the books of history. He said, Wallahi, by the Qasam of Allah, I am not even prepared to allow a thorn to prick my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I must be safe and sound. I am willing to sacrifice my entire life just so that not even a thorn pricks my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this condition, he was martyred. And whilst being martyred, he recited a dua and he asked Allah, that, oh my Allah, you send my salam to Rasulullah SAW. Nabi Kareem SAW was seated in Madinatul Munawwara amongst the companions. Tears began to fall down his cheek. He then said, your companion Khubayb ibn Adi has just been made shaheed. The salam has been sent to me. So this was the true love of the Sahaba Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and our love. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, our love for Nabi Kareem Sahasam has to now move from the lips and it has to now enter the hearts. And for this, respected elders and brothers, we need to make a firm resolution. Firstly, we need to understand that Nabi Kareem Sahasam is the most noble example. He was the, every single action of Rasulullah Sahasam was wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Every word that emanated the Mubarak mouth of Rasulullah SAW was nothing but revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every action of Rasulullah SAW was directed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, every single sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, every single way of Rasulullah SAW, there is beauty in it. And we in this month of Rabi'ul Awwal should make a resolution that let us try and implement the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether it is the sunnah of waking up in the morning, the sunnah of eating, reciting Bismillah before we eat, reciting the du'as when we enter the toilet, conducting our business in accordance to the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dealing with our neighbors in accordance to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, implementing within our lives the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. And whenever we think of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recite durood and salam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bakhil man dhukirtu 'indahu falam yusalli alayhi." That person is truly a miser. He is a miser that when my name is mentioned before him, he does not recite durood and salawat upon me. Therefore, one wali of Allah says that jab nazar aaye ho sabz gumbad, جب نظر آئے وہ سبز گنبد کہہ کے صلی علی جھوم جائے. He says that when I enter Medina to Munawwara, when I enter the Mubarak city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and my gaze falls on that green dome beneath which rests Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Taj Dari Medina, the king of Medina to Munawwara, Ba'das Khuda Buzruk to Qissa Mukhtasar, the greatest after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When my gaze falls on that green dome, then I go into a state of ecstasy, and automatically durood and salawat come out from my lips. Allahumma Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala makes us عاشق رسول in the true sense of the word, that our عشق for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not merely confined to the lips, but rather it transcends and it touches the very deepest recess of our hearts. Remember, as we had mentioned in the introduction, نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے, that in following the footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are treading on the highway that will lead us to Jannah inshallah. اور اللہ سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے, and when a person will follow and implement the sunnah of Nabi Kareem within his life, he is effectively linking himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us all the ability to make amal on whatever was mentioned, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore the dignity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وأكمل لنا ديننا وتم علينا نعمته ورضي لنا الإسلام دينا فلا نعبد ولا نستعين إلا إياه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام فيا معشر الإخوان اتقوا الله تعالى في السر والعلن ولروا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن واعلموا أن الدنيا خلقت لكم وأنتم خلقتم للآخرة وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا له ولعب وإن دار الآخرة لهي الحيوان ولا تقنطوا من رحمة الله فإنه أرحم الراحمين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأصدقهم حيان عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه وأقواهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله اللهم اغفر للعباس ولدي مغفرة الله وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم وردا من بعدي من أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير الناس قبلي ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون
Kindly straighten yourselves. Those brothers who are in the wuzu khana area requested you can go downstairs in the basement. Inshallah, there should be space there. Brothers are requested to take one step forward, inshallah. So the brothers in the first safe, let's go on the line here, inshallah.
Right. Right.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سلام عليك. اللهم صل على محمد.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Mm-hmm.